This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
John's Peak Shift, Serbia.
Gorillaz are an English virtual band formed in 1998 by musician Damon Albarn and artist Jamie Hewlett from London. The band primarily consists of four fictional members. Their universe is presented in media such as music videos, interviews, comic strips, and short cartoons. Do you enjoy their new album, Cracker Island?
No.
Belgrade is the capital and largest city of Serbia. It is one of the oldest cities in Europe, with settlements continuously existing here for at least 7,000 years. Belgrade is also known as the city of 15 names. Do you know them all?
No.
My life goal is to help ease access to tools that can bring economic growth to individuals.
Yes?
I also have a side mission: increase the fashion style of Bitcoiners.
No.
Sarma, commonly marketed in the English-speaking world as stuffed grape leaves, stuffed vine leaves, or stuffed cabbage leaves, is a food in southeastern European and Ottoman cuisine made of vegetable leaves rolled around a filling of grains such as rice, minced meat, or both. Do you know sarma means wrapped in Turkish?
No.
Kitesurfing is a sport that involves using wind power with large power kite to pull a rider across water. It combines the aspects of paragliding, surfing, windsurfing, skateboarding, snowboarding, and wakeboarding. Do you know that a fellow Dutchie named Gijsbert Panhuysen received the first patent for kitesurfing in 1977?
Yes.
Rakia or raki is the collective term for fruit spirits popular in the Balkans. The alcohol content of rakia is normally 40%, but home-produced rakia can be stronger, typically 50%. Do you brew your own raki?
No.
I speak Serbian fluently.
No.
Saint Lucia is an island country of the West Indies in the Eastern Caribbean. The island was previously called Luna Lau and later Hewa Nora, names given by the native Arawaks and Caribs. It covers a land area of around 670 kilometers, square meters, with an estimated population of over 180,000 people as of 2022. Do you miss the Caribbean climate?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 67, of Connect the World. Again, Steph, this show is made possible by our friends from Blab, BL3P. Thanks, guys, for helping us out to complete our mission. And if you also want to help us out, then follow us on Twitter, subscribe at YouTube, or if you have any questions, then you can find us, as always, in the Telegram groups. So ask away. And, of course, you can place a donation there with the Telegram bot.
Conecta el mundo.
Okay, let's start first with the highlight of this week.
I want to talk about the 10 questions with John.
Yeah.
This is hard for me.
Oh, this is so difficult.
There were so many notes.
So many funny answers. Yeah, because we have John Sbiharri here with us from Peak Shift.
I don't want to mess up the script, Edward. Let's talk about Kala first. I know John can also tell us something about Kala.
Let's do that.
Do you know
Kala, Steph?
No. To be honest, this was the first time I heard about it. So please tell me, Edward.
Well, I've read it in the news item from Human Rights Foundation, and because they received $100,000 for everything they're doing. And I'm reading it now. It's a fellowship program that trains the next generation of African Bitcoiners and Lightning developers. And their funding will allow them to continue their 13-week fellowship program, as well as sponsor 6 Scala fellows to attend the Oslo Freedom Forum. That's a conference where industry leaders and activists gather to create new partnerships and collaborations. And Johns, you're also busy with partnerships, collaborations, and to put all those people together. So I think it's a nice highlight to talk a little bit with you about.
Yeah, you spoke to the guys,
because you've
right?
met them, right?
Yeah, the work Femi and the whole crew over there are doing in Nigeria and beyond, it's really incredible. I spoke to Femi at the Advancing Bitcoin conference in London just recently. And, you know, he's really, really passionate about the space and about onboarding this next generation of Africans into Bitcoin and getting them to develop and design and project manage all the new things that we need in the space, or at least not we need, that they need on the continent. You know, solving African problems with Bitcoin. So yeah, really, really down for the mission there.
And you guys, yeah, Edward already mentioned it, but you guys have kind of a similar a way of working, I guess, because you also with Bol.fun are all about schooling people, creating stuff, and get people together to learn from each other. What are the biggest similarities between your projects?
Yeah, well, we're more kind of like trying to be global, because we want to create a space that's virtual, that is accessible to like everyone from everywhere, and we think that the connections between those people make for like interesting innovations. With the higher level mission of increasing perspective and opportunities and access for folks, I think those three words really embody kind of like any of these like educational efforts and stuff.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, indeed. Well, let's continue, Edward, because
thanks.
I really want to talk about those 10 questions.
And if if someone is interested in highlighting your own product, you can also connect with us on our website, connectworld.live/highlight. Let's continue.
Conecta el mundo.
A proper welcome to Johns.
Yeah, welcome. John, good to have you on the show, mate.
Yeah, man.
Pleasure to be here.
It was hard not to laugh, right, at the questions.
You guys, like, I don't know where you guys are getting all this information from, but I am impressed. I am very impressed. I mean, that is a level of preparation I have not experienced before. Like, wow.
Awesome.
Thanks for the nice words, man.
Yeah, thanks. And that's a Caribbean climate, Johns.
Yeah, well, it's difficult. You said I only have to answer like yes or no. I mean, okay, so first of all, like, I love the Gorillaz and I haven't listened to the new album yet because of just being so... Yeah, I have. Yeah, so how do I answer that? I can't say yes, truthfully.
No,
so I had to say no, right? And the Caribbean
but to
climate...
But to be honest, I listened to it the past 2 days because I was... Well, I'm not a huge fan of the Gorillaz, but... I listened to their album Gorillaz a lot, and also to what's the other one called Demon Days, you know.
Demon
and
Days.
I really liked that style, and especially also the album where Snoop Dogg was also Plastic Beach. It was right.
Plastic Beach. Yes.
Yeah, I really liked that. So the new album came out, and I was like, oh, I was all hyped. And then I put on the first song, and the first song was very, very soulish, very rhythmic, and I really enjoyed it. And then the next 12 tracks or so, they didn't. Got me. I was a bit disappointed, to be honest. And then the final track of the album is it's weird. It's a techno track, and I really like techno music. And that one I really enjoyed too. So the first one and the last one are my favorites, and everything in between, well, maybe it has to grow on me or something, but I don't know, man. So I hope I don't mess up your expectations now, but I would like to hear from you what you like, what you think of the album when you listen to it.
Yeah, so like there's no way Gorillaz could do wrong in my eyes. I don't know if you guys remember this website, it was called Last FM, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's super old, yeah. One of like the very early social networks just geared towards music and stuff. And they would allow you to like track how many times you play a song. And there was like leaderboards and stuff. I was top 10 Gorillaz listener for an entire year. For an entire year. And that's mostly based because I was just like I get this kind of like repetitive kind of thing where I just listen to the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, but that's...
For me, man. It's so frustrating, you know, because it's hard to get out of that. It's hard to get out, you know?
Yeah. I listened to, I don't know if you know Leak Spin. There's this song... it was this old internet meme, Leak Spin. It goes like... Anyway, so like I listened to this loop of like this 10-second loop for 8 hours straight.
Oh, yeah.
So I get into these kind of moods. So yeah, Gorillaz can do no wrong with me.
What's your favorite album from the Gorillaz?
I like... Humans, Humans is all right, but the one that, Gorillaz, Demon Days.
These
are the classics, you know, these are the
classics. But that's that particular style of Gorillaz, the album. The past few albums from them, that style didn't fit, in my opinion, you know, so.
Well, you know, like, what style is Gorillaz music?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question, yeah.
That's the other day. So I felt bad saying I didn't like the album, but actually I didn't listen to it yet. So
We can rectify in a future episode.
Yeah, there's no in between, yes or no, and it makes it difficult. That's fine.
Yeah, man. Hey, but now talk about the climate, because you wanted to tell something about the climate of the Korean.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So it's like, do I miss the climate? I mean, like, I miss stuff like kite surfing and stuff like that with regards to climate, but... I love the snow, and I'm actually really upset that the winter is, you know, it's not coming.
No.
Winter is not coming. It's done.
No, indeed.
It's spring. It feels like spring. It's annoying.
Yeah, crazy.
I'm like, I didn't leave to come to like this part of the world to like for it to be sunny in February or March.
Hey, but are you also a snowboarder then, or a skier?
Yeah, snowboarding, obviously, because skiing.
Yeah. I'm a skier, man.
No. I'm sorry for you.
No problem. No, but because of you really like to kite surf.
Yeah.
And is it like the same? Because I do ski and I do water ski also. It's, well, obviously there are a lot of similarities, but I prefer skiing in the snow, obviously, because you have way more freedom.
Yeah.
Is it the same with kite surfing also?
So it took me like a couple seasons to start snowboarding properly. And I've only done it like 3 or 4 seasons now. So like now I'm kind of like, I'm pro now, obviously. it took me a while to figure out that or untrain myself so that I lean forward, not backwards.
This is
the big one.
This is the big difference, right?
Yeah. So in kite surfing, you're on your back foot. Snowboarding, you're on your front foot, like more weight on the front foot. And so I was like doing like some weird stuff on the hill. I wasn't falling down, but I was like swapping feet like constantly, like the direction of the board is just constantly changing. Yeah,
crazy. Yeah, but it's funny because it's kind of the same with water skiing and alpine skiing, because with alpine skiing you also
alpine
have to Okay, yeah, yeah, skiing, just skiing, yeah. But yeah, it's called alpine skiing officially, I guess.
Okay,
I know this because I was searching for the workout on my Apple Watch and I couldn't find skiing, and then I saw alpine skiing. So now I know it's called by alpine skiing. So
you have it on your watch?
Yeah, sure. Oh, I'm trying. My top speed was 125 kilometers an hour, man.
What?
It was 125 kilometers an hour. What? It was so fast.
What?
So no, but I really enjoy speed. But so you also have to in with water skiing, you have to lean back. And with alpine skiing, you have to lean forward. So
lean forward, yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Hey, and Jones, you said one other thing, because maybe let's talk about your side mission, increasing the fashion style.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. That's when I got it.
I don't know where this came from.
It was in a small thread you were in with. It was also with the girl from Galloway. What's her name? Yeah, with Noor. You were talking about Crocs. and then you said I have a side mission. I have a mission, and that is to.
Maybe put some Crocs on the market with a Bitcoin B on it.
No,
a Lightning.
No, okay. So the backstory for that, my buddy Arvin from Galloy, he wears Crocs all the time, and he even went as far as going to a wedding in Crocs. So no. He has this like. Beautiful Indian suit wearing, and he's wearing Crocs with it. So it became like a whole thing in Galloy. Then it spilled out to Twitter, and I'm like, me and Noor, we're like, no, this should not be.
There's an influencer in the Netherlands that's always wearing Crocs, and he makes it. Bas Smit, heet hij.
Oh, Bas Smit. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he just everywhere he wears his Crocs, and for his children and for his wife. It's so funny.
They fit nicely. I don't own them, but.
Our daughter also has Crocs.
It's the Crocs man.
Swimming.
It's the Crocs man.
But then glittery, right? Pink with glitters.
Okay, I'm definitely. Okay, so I'm going to say yes to that. I didn't know it was so far reaching, this Crocs style thing. So I'm gonna change my answer. Yes, my side mission is to improve the fashion.
All right.
Perfect, man. Hey, we are. Here to talk about the projects you manage, John. So Peak Shift and Bolted Fund. But maybe for the people who don't know those projects, you can elaborate a bit about them. What are they about?
All right, cool. Yeah. So I guess it starts with the thing that holds everything together, and that's Peak Shift. So Peak Shift is a design agency, venture studio that was started like I think over 10 years ago now. And we've worked over the years and had different forms, but ultimately it's to help companies ship better products faster, right? And make the right decisions quicker, right? Or figure out what the wrong decisions are going to be. So we use one, our experience for that, but also two, like some design processes, design sprints. That's kind of like our cornerstone in what we offer, and it's basically this kind of workshop in which we kind of like sit down with like a bunch of different stakeholders, technical, design, business, get everyone in the company or project to get alignment, and then they put all the assumptions on the table. We test those assumptions as quickly as possible, usually in 8 days. And then we find out, you know, if it's worth pursuing the thing, right? And sometimes you figure out that it's not worth pursuing. Sometimes you figure out, okay, our assumptions were correct. And we use this to kind of like test new projects that we do internally as well. So one of these projects is Bolt Fun. Bed Money is another one. And we have like a whole heap of failed projects as well. But yeah, Bolt Fun is kind of taken off. It's providing some good value to the community for hackathons and knowledge sharing for the builder and designer community in Bitcoin. Bed Money, whilst it's a bit dormant, But the research in there has influenced quite a bit of some of my own work, some of the work that we continue to do. And this was basically a project to try to understand how people use money in different parts of the world.
There's Boldat Van, who is focusing on Bitcoin specifically, and Peakshift and Bad Ronnie aren't specifically focusing on Bitcoin.
No, everything is Bitcoin focused.
Oh, right? Real? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Bad money is Bitcoin everyday dot money.
Yeah.
Right? And The idea is that, okay, how can we design and create products for people, for all the masses, right? If we don't actually understand how they use money now.
Yeah.
Right? So that was a research project to understand. I think we touched like
five
different countries. We did like 30 plus interviews, like really in-depth interviews with folks. All the research is on the website there. It's very difficult to parse through it at the moment. If anyone wants to help out with that project, we'd be happy
to reach out.
Yeah, please reach out. But yeah, everything, you know, bolt.fun, it's a basis of lightning technology.fun. That's the base. That's the name there. And Peakshift is very focused on Bitcoin as well.
Perfect, man. Well, I'm feeling I'm already in the 21 minutes. but we still have to enter that part, John. So if you are ready, John, and Edward too, we'd really love to enter the 21 minutes. Are you ready, man?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Conectează lumea. I'll start off. Normally, we don't ask this in the 21 minutes, but I think it's interesting because Bolt.fun and Peakshift is all about also getting those developers that aren't into Bitcoin interested in Bitcoin. So I wanted to ask you what led you to start working in this space, so before Peakshift.
Yeah, so before Peakshift, the origin story, I'm freelancer around 2013. Working with clients in Southeast Asia, South Africa, like different places, US, wherever. And I didn't have it was difficult to get money on PayPal, right? Because like PayPal in St. Lucia, in the Caribbean, is either like not operating. You could only use it to send money, right? Or two, if you can receive it, they take some crazy, crazy fees, right?
I'll
pay the fees. The other thing is they take 21 days to clear the money. You can't access the money for 21 days. And then if it's after the 21 days, if it's before the fifth of every month, then if it's after the fifth of every month, then you could only withdraw 500 per day. And then that's a $5 fee to also. So it's just.
Oh, come on. So you have it and then you can't use it?
Exactly. So, I mean, when I saw Bitcoin, I'm like, okay.
That's my solution.
Yes,
yeah. Exactly. Control over your own money. I mean, yeah.
For me, it was payments. Yeah. Like, for me, it was straight up payments. Yeah. You know, I didn't have like enough money to do that investing and all that. Like, that wasn't in my mindset. I was like, how can I get paid for my stuff and how can I pay people? You know?
Yeah. So medium of exchange. That's nice. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool.
And what are some of the most exciting developments or projects you have seen in the Lightning Network space recently? And how do you think they could impact the broader adoption of Bitcoin? You've been to a lot of conferences lately. So really curious on your take.
I mean, there's a couple ways to like angle it. Do you want it on like the application layer or the protocol layer?
Yeah, both. No? Adoption also. I mean, the things you like most.
I mean, dare I say it, Noster.
Yeah.
I mean, that took a while to come up.
Yeah. Just two questions. I have it here for the eighth or something. So
Okay, well
but yeah, case, Noster, yeah.
Well, in that case, I think like I'm very interested in the builder space, obviously. I wanna see like sustainable projects being created. sustainable in whatever kind of way, whether it's a lifestyle business or a big unicorn potential business that's funded and whatnot. I mean, very interested right now that how easy it is for people to develop. That is something that has been holding the application layer back for quite some time. I think that's what I would say. All the hard work people have put down on the protocol layer, on the specifications and stuff, we now have enough of them, and the developer tools, we now have enough of them where we can start putting those things together and creating some cool use cases.
Yeah, perfect.
And one of the values of PeakShift is continuous improvement. How do you apply this value to your work in a Bitcoin and Lightning Network space? And what are some areas you're constantly focusing on improving?
Yeah, sure. Constant improvement. I think, you know, when we were kind of like writing that up like some years ago.
Time flies when you're having fun, man. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So when we were writing that up, it was really kind of like, you know, like improvement of the self, right? You know, how can you improve yourself? Obviously, like, you know, we're at the point where we don't need to improve ourselves. No, I'm just kidding.
We always have to improve.
Of course. But, you know, it's just like striving to do better at the end of the day, striving to do better, to be better. And whatever small ways that's applicable to you, obviously to the company. And in ways that it's applied to the Bitcoin and Lightning Network, well, I guess like, you know, like build and iterate, right? That's how we kind of, we take a bit more experimental approach with the kinds of things that we're doing. You know, we want to push the boundaries of what's being done within Bitcoin, you know, like the innovations and stuff like that's there. We want to push it just a little bit further to look past what we have now and to see what could be. So I guess that's how I would say that's how we're kind of like looking at that one.
Yeah, and another value of PeakShift is inspiring others. How do you try to inspire others in Bitcoin and the Lightning Network space? And what do you hope people take away from your work?
Yeah. I think
maybe it's a philosophical question, but
no, it's you know, I'm kind of like trying to understand kind of the role I play in all of these things. So because sometimes I could, like even within the company, I come up with like these really mad ideas, and people are like, John, what are you talking about? Like why do you want us to do this? And you know, the reason why it's important to kind of like push those boundaries. Again, people need something like, we've been talking so much about the specifications, what Bitcoin can do. But at the end of the day, people kind of like need some example to see what is possible out there. Again, it's similar to the last question, I guess. But by setting that example, like Boltzmann, for example, the only authentication we do is login with Lightning or Bitcoin-based keys. That's the only one that we're ever going to put in there once I can have my say. And that is just to show people with this constraint, this is where it can, like, this is what we could look forward to. This is the challenges that we have. And maybe some of those things are mistakes. Maybe we should use email, login, and password for authentication instead, right? But through that, hopefully people look at what we're doing and they say like, oh, wow, I think that's kind of bad or that's kind of good. And they follow suit. And I realized that you kind of need to have like examples set in the space, because otherwise you can keep on talking and tweeting or posting on Noster or whatever. But if you're not kind of like pushing things out and, you know, like putting things in people's hands, it's just talk at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Make it physical, really doing it.
Exactly.
And About building the future with of internet with Bitcoin, can you give some examples of how Bitcoin and Lightning specifically could transform the internet in the upcoming years, and what implications could this have for society as well?
All right, cool. So the underlying, like one of the components I could talk about there in Bitcoin is this, you know, private key cryptography, right? And I saw something recently where, you know, people were talking about the misinformation online and the way that they're wanting to, like, I don't know, how you end up solving it or whatever. And I was thinking, if we're going into like this key-based kind of future, right? Sorry, Nasser again.
I was just going to say it.
Right. Where your content, the content is verified, signed by the original poster, and you can look those up and you could verify. Like those mechanisms, they've been around since like before PGP. PGP tried to kind of like make this kind of popular, right? Yeah. It never really fulfilled that that promise. So, you know, signing and verifying messages. Imagine you see some news online and you can just say, hey, you know, is this actually from, you know, whichever source? You know, is this from WikiLeaks? Is this from
CNN? Yeah, the fake news problem also.
Exactly. Because there's a lot of people who end up like, even with the whole AI content that's coming out now, right? I mean, this whole, I'm not really here, guys, actually. This is like my AI.
Answers for someone who isn't here.
You look so real, man.
Oh, well. You know? So how do you verify that now, right? Like if voices are like all this content that we're producing now and voices,
deep fakes.
Exactly. Right. So how then do you prove if that's real or not? And this is where the public private key schemes could come in, right? Verifying messages and content and whatnot.
But is this also going to work with video, you think? I mean, with messages, I think it will work, but video makes it even harder, right? Because,
But if you make the video and edit it, perhaps using the software, you need to log in some kind of way. I don't know.
Well, you would just be saying like this video file, this hash of the video file or something like that. I sign and say that, you know, I am the person who created this video or I am the person within this video and stuff like that. You know how they do Facebook tagging or whatever? Well, this can be tagging based on, you know, your public private keys. Now, okay, that's one part, but then how does that content get monetized, et cetera, et cetera? Now, I can't tell you what that future looks like, but I just hope that the future doesn't have just advertising, you know? Like I know you have to get sponsors and stuff for your show. We have to do it for Bold Fund as well, you know? But those are, like, a lot nicer than, you know, YouTube ads popping up that's, like, tracking and targeting me based on, you know, like, whatever pieces of data that I don't even know, right? Like, and they're just monetizing me on my data. So I think the internet hopefully starts to look a bit cleaner, a bit more useful, and easier to verify.
I hope so too, man. Yeah. I really hope, because I have two little kids, you know, and sometimes thinking about the future, what the future can bring.
It's a more difficult world. That's right. Yeah, it makes me. If you have kids, then
Yeah, man. But okay, hey, how does your work? how does the work you're doing with Bat Money tie into your other projects in the Bitcoin and Lightning network space? We talked about it just some moments ago. But are there any particular insights or lessons from Bat Money that you have been able to apply to your other work?
Certainly. When we did our first bit of research for Bad Money, when we did our first bit of research, we were kind of like trying to, stuff like multiple research projects into like, one project and, into one, like, questionnaire and stuff like that, and interview, process. One thing that we tried to figure out is And this was for the Photon project, which is trying to do... Photon is a way to do kind of like... it's a JavaScript module that you could install as a developer if you're making a mobile application. And it allows you to do this thing called automatic cloud backup, right? And... where does it get backed up to? Well, the data gets encrypted using a PIN code and it gets backed up to your iCloud or your Google Drive. So when we were doing this research on people in like emerging and frontier markets, found out that, well, nobody want to pay for, you know, Google Drive iCloud or iCloud. No. Yeah, screw that. So what they do, they create a new Google Drive account, right? Yeah. But now the storage of your the storage that's linked in the Bitcoin wallet that did the cloud backups or whatever is no longer available, right? So that little bit of insight kind of informs us how we would like design things for clients in that kind of way, especially if they're trying to target like these emerging and frontier and developing markets. There was also some design patterns that he kind of discovered where it's hopefully becoming more of a thing now. I wanted to do these locally stored contact lists, for instance. That was out of I can't make the connection exactly, but it was through that research process that we kind of like ended up with these design patterns. And we were asking questions along the lines of like, if you had to get your phone repaired and the repair person has to, needs your PIN code, would you give it to them? The astounding majority of people said yes. You know?
So everybody's going to be a repairman.
You see, so how do you design interfaces that... you know, protect people from that, right? You know, like how many Bitcoin applications actually allow you to set a PIN code, to open it or something like this, you know, these or to send funds. Now, if you unlock your phone, I get it right now, boom, I can start sending funds.
For
most of the top Bitcoin applications, I don't have to do any type of authentication.
Yeah. It's like some wallets give you access to move funds and do some or close channels or exactly. So that's very destructive.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is.
So we use that in our design process quite a bit. You know?
Interesting. Yeah. It's always the narrow field between more safety and security and the easiness to just use things in an easy way to get more people on board. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Oh, I have one more. This one's kind of cool. So on Boltfun, the editor, when you're writing, if your internet connection drops, it still saves, right? Because it saves to local storage. And that's for people with intermittent connections, because again, from research in these places, one of the big complaints is like, I'm not going to use this application because I can't, I'm not going to use your mobile money application or your wallet because when I'm offline, it doesn't work. It's like, everyone's online, right? Nope, they're not. When my data is finished, what do I do?
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, here it comes. We talked about it earlier. On the 10th of March, there was the first ever Nostr hack kicked off together with the Nostr design community and Wolf. NYC. What is it and why is this topic so important, you think, for Bolt.fun, but of course for the rest of the Bitcoin community? So Nostr and Bitcoin. What's your take on it?
Nostr and Bitcoin. How many conversations have you guys had about Nostr and Bitcoin?
The interesting thing is that we talked about this so early. We talked about it with Ben Ark when we had him on the show, and it was, I think, more than a year ago. And then with Fiat Jeff, of course. But then a lot of episodes, it just came back. It and then, of course, Jack funded...
It exploded.
But it's interesting because then we were talking about those similarities with Noster and Twitter and with Diagon Alley for Amazon, because Ben Ark and Fiatjev were creatively thinking of... the things that are and needs to be changed. So yeah. I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, I mean, well, starting point with Ben Ark and Fia Jeff, I think that's a pretty, that's as far back as you can get, right?
And that's Diagon, absolutely right.
Diagon Alley as well. So Bitcoin and Noster as a social transport layer. That's how I look at it, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, when I was first doing research in the Bitcoin design community with the grant, Spiral Grant, and we were trying to explore how do you make like familiar like Bitcoin applications that are familiar to people, right? And so, like, you know, you have a Bitcoin wallet, and what's the main way that you tell somebody to pay you? You go into some out of band method, you open up the application, then you're like, oh, I want someone to pay me. No, let me go to Twitter, go to wherever, and or WhatsApp or Viber if you're in the Balkans. and then you'd, you know, say, hey, send me an invoice, or hey, can I send you this payment? What's your address? And you have to do a whole back and forth outside of the application. Then you go back to the application, you copy it, and whatever, right? So imagine if we had a transport layer for these kind of things. Now you'll be like, oh, we don't want these things publicly, right? Well, cool. Well, Noster allows you to have like ephemeral notes and DMs as well. You could talk about the privacy implications there, but anyway.
Yeah, of course.
But right now I have a way to contact you. I could integrate that into my Bitcoin application. So now you can just get, boom, John's requested, you know, 100 million sats.
You know? I'm going to send you now a DM.
Right?
Right?
Imagine just having that kind of interaction inside of your Bitcoin wallet.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay, How about this? I want to coordinate a multisig. Have any of you guys ever tried setting up a multisig?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, yeah, I'm a Casa customer, so they do all the work for you, but I can imagine if you do it all by yourself, it's really hard.
Yeah, so Casa is a different kind of multisig. I'm thinking about like social multisigs, right?
Okay.
A group chat.
Yeah,
man.
We hear the TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I really want to ask you one more thing because you describe Bold.fun as a fun place for anyone wanting to learn, experiment, and share knowledge around building tools and projects on Bitcoin. But can you give us some examples of the types of tools and projects that people are building on Bitcoin and how Bold.fun supports these efforts? And now you can finish your answer, man. It's
yeah, you're not safe by the bell.
So you can sell Bold.fun to any a developer out there searching for more tools.
Or VC.
Yeah. So like I think a great example of a project that and a founder is Lightsat. Lightsat is lightsat.com. Juan, he had this idea. He's a non-technical guy. He's not a developer. He decided to respond to Brad Mills, who said, like, hey, it'd be cool, like, if I could just, like, pull back my tip if the person doesn't move it or whatever, you know, is, like, tired of, like, giving sats away and people not, people losing their keys or whatever, right? If there was a better onboarding experience. Juan, he posted about the idea on Stacker News, on Bold.fun. Since we had a hackathon going on, he's like, hey, I want to participate. Does anyone want to build with me? He found two technical people, one of them good with design. And then they built this project. They ended up winning our I think it was, yeah, one Bitcoin prize? Yeah, they became the legend.
Really?
We gave away one Bitcoin. That's crazy. We gave away an entire Bitcoin at one of our hackathons. And then they also won first prize as well. So they were like, you know, getting bags. And, you know, I really hope to see this project even more successful. They have over 2,000 users. During the hackathon itself, they got 1,000 users.
Really?
Right? So whilst they were building.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I think, you know, this just shows kind of like, hey, you don't need to be technical. You could, if you find a community of people who you could come build with, you know, like amazing things can happen. And who knows? I would love to see. I'm going to continue following their journey. We're going to continue helping them out however we can. And yeah, we'll see if that becomes a unicorn in Bitcoin.
I really think that's an important story to tell. Yeah. Great. Well, we had a lot of more questions also about Bolt.fun Fun and one for Ed Pratt, but we're going to do it another time. If you like it, I really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Thanks so much for having me. You
connect.
Thanks, Jones. Yeah, thanks, man.
But I have one surprise for you, Jones, because we still have one question left for you.
That's right.
And you may choose which one, because we pre-recorded some questions. We now have for you to choose from Moritz from Albi, Get Albi, El Profesor from the Latinodos community, it's a Spanish community, and Magasly from Africa Free Routing. So hard to choose from, but you only can choose one.
And you're never going to hear the other ones.
No, make it more harder, Edward.
In some other episodes.
No. Okay, let's bring up Latinodos. Let's bring up Latinodos.
Okay, perfect. Latinodos.
El Profesor.
Spanish. Here it comes.
Wait, I don't speak.
not great.
Hello, Mauricio here. So the question I have for you is KYC a necessary evil required for the massive adoption of Bitcoin as a means of payment?
No, definitely not required. I think, you could look at El Salvador, what's happening there, right? You could trade and sell Bitcoin and make payments for it without, it's a national currency. I think we're going to start seeing more things like that, you know, whether it's like local communities or whether it's, my family, between my family, I could set up a node and send between that, or on a nation state. Yeah, I don't think it's a necessary evil at all. I think it's the thing that people are going to try to use to continue to stay in
kill
power.
Kill Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, stay in power and kill Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You were afraid this question would be in Spanish, right?
Spanish,
I don't know Spanish, but yeah.
Ah, puedes hablar en español, ¿no? Es muy fácil.
No,
it's so easy.
No comprendo. Thanks, man.
Ne razbiram espanska? I don't know.
Oh, that's another language. That's thanks, man.
Conecta el mundo.
Hey, really enjoyed the talk, Jones. Yeah. Where can people follow you, man? Can you maybe share your Twitter or the website or whatever you want, of course?
Sure. Check out Bolt.fun. Actually, Bolt.fun is a social network, guys. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It is, with Nostr integrated.
Exactly. So find me on Bolt.fun. click on Makers. I'll be posting there a lot more. Where else? Peakshift.com.
Yep.
That's it?
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I'm not going to say my end pub because it's like way too long.
Way too long.
Yeah. If you like our content, everybody, thanks again. Please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, Connect the World. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, rings burning, and connect with Bolt.fun, of course. And see you all next week on this same Lightning channel. Do vidjenja, Jones.
Zdravo. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.